The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Flumonia is a term coined from Australia's prolonged flu season this winter. Australia saw a spike in people contracting one flu infection to the next, including a rise in pneumonia figures. Sheena Mitchell, pharmacist and health advocate, host of the Wondercare podcast and founder of Wondercare.ie, joins me now online. Good morning, Sheena.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, this flumonia, is it just a catchy phrase or does it have any real meaning?
Well, it is definitely a catchy phrase. And, you know, we love to have jargon in the medical world, but it does actually represent a real risk. And we've known for a long time that flu, which is where the name comes in, flumonia, can be a cause of pneumonia. Now, it's not common, but when it does happen, the pneumonia can be quite severe. So as we've seen over the last few years, particularly post-pandemic, we have had very variable rates of viral illness. And we've seen RSV escalate in kids. We've seen COVID continue to be a problem. And more recently, because of reduced uptake in immunizations, we've seen whooping cough, which is pertussis, come back into the equation. So we now have four viral respiratory infections circulating. And unfortunately, if someone falls foul of one of them and then, you know, is still recovering or in the weeks just after is kind of building their immune system back up, if they get the next, it's more likely that they will, you know, develop more serious sickness, and it puts them at increased risk of pneumonia. And that's what they saw in Australia this winter.
Now, everybody can get RSV, but the I suppose those most at risk are the very young babies, hence the immunization program that is offered to every newborn baby from the moment of birth, which is a good thing.
It is a good thing. It falls a little bit short of the NIAC recommendation to offer to every baby for their first RSV season. And it's only applying to those born from the 1st of September. So ideally, that would have been better. And I know we had been flagging that last February and March with yourself that, you know, really and truly, we had a pathway to provide immunization to the whole group, which would have really, really helped to take some of the pressure off our paediatric hospitals this winter.
Yeah, I remember when we talked about it in the early part of this year, we were saying we might not be able to get supplies of the immunization. It's not a vaccine per se, but the immunization material, that we could lose out on being able to order it. Obviously, we've got some supplies.
Yeah, and they ordered limited supplies. So they ordered enough for the babies born in season. And unfortunately, because that decision was made so late, exactly what we talked about did transpire. And as a result of that, the company who make the immunization didn't enter the private market. So, for example, chickenpox from the 1st of October, babies born from the 1st of October, is going to be included on the immunization schedule. But for anyone who isn't in that criteria, they can access it privately. And that would normally be the case. While it's not ideal because it doesn't deliver equity within the health system, at least it's an option for parents who feel very strongly and have the means to afford it. But with this situation, because of the late decision, there is no private stock available of the RSV immunisation. So it's only accessible to those born from the 1st of September to the 28th of February.
Now, the flu vaccine is available.
It is available, and I will commend that this year it's available free of charge for all children 2 to 17, so that's the nasal one. It's also available in injection form for all the regular groups, so anyone over 60 or anyone who is kind of 18 to 59 and is living with a risk that puts them in, you know, at higher risk of developing complications for flu. So that is welcome. And it's also available privately. So anyone who, you know, doesn't fall into one of those categories can absolutely visit their GP or local community pharmacy to access it there. And I would strongly recommend it because with four viral respiratory illnesses circulating, any disease that is preventable, I think we should be proactive in preventing. We don't have solutions for every illness, but these are ones that we can treat.
Now, the question of the flu vaccine itself, it's every year, it's a cocktail of different vaccines. Do we have the one that will best combat what's floating around at the moment?
Yeah, like it looks like it. So as you said, they're updated every year with the most current strains. And that's kind of decided by the World Health Organization in March or April time. So it has been updated this year. And again, we're using a 4-strain, so a quadrivalent vaccine. And it is, you know, hopefully going to be effective. It certainly gives you the best chance that's possible. The nasal one is actually amazing because, yes, it, challenges those strains that are known to be in circulation. But as variants develop during the season, which happens with every virus, as we know from COVID, this actually has a more broad range action. And so it can actually help to prevent against some of the variations that will only come on stream.
Why don't we give it to everybody instead of just the children up to the age of 17? Because much more easy to administer.
Yeah. The reason is, and I get asked this all the time on my Instagram, why can't I get that? It's basically only been shown to be effective in the studies up to 17 years of age. So it's really about, you know, making sure we have a reliable level of immunization.
So it's all about a young immune system that has not maybe been exposed to a lifetime of viruses of one kind or another. So it's maybe fitter and better able to throw up the defenses.
And, you know, the way technologies are advancing, and it is a really great thing, and especially when we look at what they've done with RSV and the monoclonal antibodies, like we're making ready-made antibodies now to protect people from illness. This is only going to continue to advance. So hopefully in years to come, we'll just be getting more and more effective immunizations.
Yeah, rather than vaccinations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, now, how to help ourselves from being infected in the first place, or if we have something, how to know when to go to the GP. This could be pneumonia. This could be something more serious than the common cold.
Yeah. So first thing, really, obviously, preventing disease is always better than treating. So that vaccination that we discussed there, very important. Also, some things we're all feeling a bit fatigued with, such as masks and hand gel, still have a place. So if, for example, you have a bad cold and you know it's only a cold, you may kind of think, OK, I'm going to go into the office like normal. But if you're sitting beside someone who has a young family at home, it's very possible that what's appearing as a mild cold in you could actually be the RSV virus, and brought home to that person's child could land them in hospital. So I think we all need to be quite considerate. And I know it's a tough ask because we're all tired of making sure we're not spreading infections. But we are dealing with a season which is likely to cause a high level of viral infection. So that's definitely one to do. And also keeping children, you know, at home if they're sick, not visiting people's houses or attending school. Other than that, there are things you can do to aid your own respiratory health. So using things like salt therapy. So the use of the Salon Plus device, that's something that you plug in your room overnight, and it delivers salt particles into the air, which help to draw mucus out of your airways and also help to reduce inflammation. I'll pop a link up to that on my Instagram, wondercare_IRL. But other than that, some people like to take preventative vitamin C. So the one thing I'd say with vitamin C, the evidence is kind of mixed. You can actually get enough vitamin C from your diet, from citrus fruits, peppers, broccoli, potatoes. And really and truly, the only people who it will prevent catching colds and stuff is the people who are doing extreme sports like marathon running. And I know we've the Dublin Marathon coming up now, and people often crash afterwards. So for all of those people, it would definitely be a good idea to take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. But other than that, it'll just reduce the life of a cold. So it's not going to stop absolutely people getting them. In terms of when to go to the doctor, it's really important to watch out for all your regular kind of respiratory warning symptoms. So from young and old, that includes any difficulty breathing or wheeze, any chest pain, any kind of high fever that isn't coming down with, you know, the likes of paracetamol or ibuprofen, or is getting worse after a couple of days. In younger children, you wouldn't give them a couple of days. You'd be kind of bringing them if it's not under control within 24 hours. And then if you have a cough that is particularly discolored or is getting worse and, you know, is very severe, you would be best to see a doctor in all of those situations.
All right, Sheena, thank you very much for all of that wisdom. Sheena Mitchell, pharmacist, health advocate, host of the Wondercare podcast, founder of wondercare.ie.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.